Our second scripture reading takes us to what is the usual and essential reading on Epiphany, and that is Matthew chapter 2, the story of the wise men coming to see Jesus in Bethlehem. And so we'll be looking at chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told Herod, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Loving, gracious God, thank you for gathering us here and bringing us together, for welcoming us to this place so that we may worship you together. And God, we pray and thank you for the songs that we sing, the prayers that we say, the ways that we greet one another and enjoy this community. And we thank you most of all for your word. And we pray now that the words of my heart and the meditation, words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Once there was a man of great wealth, learning, and faith. He lived in the mountains of ancient Persia, and his name was Artaban. Artaban was a tall, dark man of maybe 40 years old, who it was said had the brow of a dreamer and the mouth of a soldier. You could say, though, that Artaban was a sensitive and yet inflexible man. He was a man destined to journey through life waging an inner war. Artaban, though, was also a magi. And he and his companions would study the planets and the stars, looking for signs. And now, Artaban and his companions were looking for a new sign, a new star to appear that promised the Savior of the world would be born in Israel. And they agreed that Artaban would watch from his home in Persia, and that the other three magi would observe the sky from Babylon. Now, on the night that he believed the sign was to be given, Artaban went out on his roof to watch the night sky, something he'd probably done many times. But he thought to himself, "If the star appears, the other three magi will wait for me 10 days. Then we will all set out for Jerusalem. I have gotten ready for the journey by selling all of my possessions and have bought 3 jewels, a sapphire, a ruby, and a pearl. And I intend to present them as a tribute to the newborn king." And so as Artaban watched the night sky, a spark of blue appeared that eventually rounded itself splendidly into a bright star. Artaban then bowed his head, saying, "It is the sign. The king is coming, and I will go meet with him." He then set out for where he had arranged to meet up with the other magi to find the newborn king. In fact, the fastest of Artaban's horses was waiting, saddled and bridled in the stall, ready to begin their journey. And as Artaban hopped on his horse and they were getting ready to set out, he offered a blessing. And then they were off to find the newborn king. Well, after many days of difficult travel through valleys and over hills and mountains, on the evening of the 10th day, Artaban arrived at the walls of Babylon. And as Artaban was approaching the city, his horse began to act strangely. In fact, his horse, you could say, was acting very anxiously. So Artaban stopped his horse, climbed off, and as he was crossing the road, he saw a man lying on the road. The man's haggard face, pallid skin, and labored breathing certainly bore the mark of a deadly fever. But as Artaban turned to leave, the man begged for help. Artaban hesitated. If he lingered to minister to this dying stranger, even for an hour, he could miss his three friends. But if he left now, the man would surely die. So he turned to the sick man and carefully attended him, leaving with him all that he had left of bread and of wine, as well as a store of healing herbs. "I have nothing to give you in return," said the grateful man. "This, our prophets have decreed that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem, not in Jerusalem. So may the Lord bring you safely to that place, because you had pity upon the sick." Well, after caring for the man, Artaban rode swiftly through Babylon all the way to the place where he was to meet the other three magi. When he finally reached that place, he found a message waiting for him. "We can delay no longer. Follow us across the desert." Well, Artaban sat down in despair. And he wondered, how was he going to follow them across the desert without any food and a worn-out horse? Well, he had to make a decision. And so he decided the only thing he could do was to return to Babylon and buy more food, as well as a train of camels that could make it through the desert. And so Artaban backtracked to Babylon, and he sold his precious sapphire to buy a train of camels and provisions for the journey ahead. And then once again, Artaban sets out, and he arrived eventually in Bethlehem. But he arrived to find the streets of Bethlehem deserted. Artaban noticed, though, that the door of one house was open. He could hear a mother singing a lullaby to her child. So Artaban goes over, enters the house, and introduces himself. The woman tells him that it was now the third day since the three wise men had appeared in Bethlehem. They had found Joseph and Mary and the young child, and they had laid their gifts at his feet. But then they had gone as strangely as they had come. Joseph, on the other hand, had taken his wife and his baby that same night, and they'd secretly fled because it was whispered that they were going far away to Egypt. As Artaban listened, the baby reached up its dimpled hand and touched his cheek, and the baby smiled. Well, Artaban's heart warmed at the touch. Then suddenly, outside, there arose a wild confusion of sounds. Women were shrieking. Then there was a desperate cry, "The soldiers of Herod are killing the children!" Well, Artaban quickly went to the doorway. A band of soldiers were coming, hurrying down the street. The captain approached the door to thrust Artaban aside. Artaban, though, stood his ground, his face as calm as though he were still watching the stars. And finally, his outstretched hand opened and revealed the giant ruby. And Artaban said, I have been waiting to give this jewel to the prudent captain who will go on his way and who will leave this house alone. The captain, amazed at the splendor of the gem, took it and said to his men, march on, there are no children here. Then Artaban prayed, God, forgive me, forgive my sin. I have spent for men that which was meant for God. Shall I ever be worthy to see the face of the king? But the voice of the woman, weeping for joy in the shadows behind him, said softly, you have saved the life of my little one. May the Lord bless you and keep you and give you peace. Well, then Artaban left. And he was still following the king, and he went on to Egypt, seeking everywhere for traces of the little family that had fled before him. In fact, for many years, Artaban searched. He was seen at the foot of the pyramids. He was even seen in Alexandria taking counsel from a Hebrew rabbi who told him to seek the king not among the rich, but among the poor. Well, then Artaban passed through countries where famine lay heavy upon the land and the poor were crying for bread. He made his dwelling in plague-stricken cities. He visited the oppressed and the afflicted in prison. He searched the crowded slave markets. Though he found no one to worship, he found many to serve. And as the years passed, he fed the hungry, clothed the naked, healed the sick, and comforted the captive. Well, 33 years had now passed since Artaban began his search, and his hair was as white as snow, and he knew that his life was near its end. But he was still desperate with hope that he would find the king. And he had come now for the last time to Jerusalem. And lo and behold, it was the season of Passover, and the city was full of activity and full of strangers, all hustling and bustling around. Well, Artaban inquired of one where they were going. And the person answered, we're going to the execution on Golgotha, outside the city walls. Two robbers are going to be crucified, and with them another, called Jesus of Nazareth, a man who has done many wonderful works among the people. He even claims to be the Son of God, and the priests and the elders have said that he must die. Pilate sent him to the cross. How strangely these familiar words fell upon the tired heart of Artaban. They had led him for a lifetime over land and sea, and now they came to him like a message of despair. The king had been denied and cast out. Perhaps he was already dying. And could he be the same one for whom the star had appeared 33 long years before? Well, Artaban's heart was beating very loudly within him. He thought, it may be that I shall yet find the king and be able to ransom him from death by giving my treasure to his enemies. But as Artaban started toward Golgotha, he saw a troop of soldiers coming down the street, dragging a sobbing young woman. As Artaban paused, she broke away from the soldiers, and she threw herself at his feet, his arms clasped around his knees. Have pity on me, she cried, and save me. My father was also of the Magi, but he's dead. And now I am to be sold as a slave to pay his debt. Artaban trembled as he again felt the conflict arising in his soul. It was the same conflict that he had experienced along the street outside of Babylon, again in the house in Bethlehem. Twice the gift that he had consecrated to the king had been drawn from his hand to the service of humanity. Would he now fail again? Well, one thing was clear. He had to rescue this helpless child from Eden. So he took the pearl and he laid it in the hand of the girl, saying, "Daughter, this is the ransom. It is the last of my treasures, which I had hoped to keep for the king." But while he spoke, the darkness of the sky thickened, and the shuddering tremors of an earthquake ran through the ground. The houses rocked. The soldiers, they fled in terror. Artaban, he sank beside the protecting wall. After all, what did he have to fear? What did he have to hope for? I mean, he'd given away the last of his tribute for the king. The quest was over and he had failed. What else mattered? Well, the earthquake continued to quiver beneath him, and a heavy tile, shaken loose from a roof, fell and struck him. And Artaban lay breathless and pale. Then there came a small, still voice through the twilight. It was like distant music. The rescued girl leaned over him, and she heard him say, "Not so, my lord. When did I see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did I see you sick or in prison and go visit you? 33 years have I looked for you, but I have never even seen you, nor ministered to you, my king." The sweet voice came again. "Truly I say to you, whatever you did for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did for me." That moment, a calm radiance of wonder and joy lighted the face of Artaban as one long last breath exhaled gently from his lips. His journey was ended. His treasure accepted. The other wise men had found his king.